Looking to the Lord for his help this evening, we return to Mark chapter 9, and our text is found in verse 46 to the end of the chapter. In verse 46 we read, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side, begging." We began to read earlier in this chapter from verse 32. And there we see that the Lord Jesus, with his disciples, determined to go to Jerusalem. His disciples recognize that this is no ordinary trip to Jerusalem. Indeed, they're afraid. There's something different about Jesus. Jesus has set his face as a flint to go up to the city of God to lay down his life for his people. They're now 15 miles short of the city of Jerusalem. They've come to the city of Jericho, also known as the city of palm trees, as it was renowned for its beauty. In our passage, the Lord Jesus Christ stops. Or more accurately, we might say, he is stopped. But the reason that he stopped is not to admire the beauty of the city, but to continue his ministry of serving men, of seeking the lost, of saving those who were bound in sin. Indeed, in the very city himself, we have that famous encounter of our Lord Jesus with Zacchaeus, the tax collector. You'll remember, children, how he enters in and all the people have thronged the streets, and Zacchaeus, the little man, climbs up in the tree and Jesus stops and tells him to come down. "Today I'm coming to your house, Zacchaeus." And when he leaves the house of Zacchaeus, he says, "This day salvation has come to thy house." Well, now he's leaving the city, and Matthew tells us that there were two men by the roadside begging. Both were blind, and both cried out unto Jesus and were delivered. But as Mark gives us his account, as he often does, he's a little bit more concise, and he focuses upon one of these men. Yet he tells us there his name, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. What we hope to do this evening with the help of the Lord is to look at the healing of blind Bartimaeus. We want to speak to it under this subject, blind but now I see. Blind but now I see. For many of you here this evening, that's your testimony. "I once was lost and now I'm found," was blind, but now I see. But for others, it's not your testimony. But by the grace of God, we pray that under the preaching of the Word of God this evening, you who are yet blind may see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to open up this text this evening under four heads. The first is his condition. The second is his cry. The third is his coming. And the fourth is his cure. Looking at verse 46, you have the condition of Bartimaeus described for us. There we read, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." What was the condition of this man? Well, it was twofold. First of all, he was blind. Secondly, he was a beggar. And if you keep the two things together, he was a beggar because he was blind. What else could this man do in the end of the Old Testament here in Israel? He couldn't become a carpenter. He couldn't work the farm. He was blind. And all that was left to him to do was to sit by the highway side, to beg alms, to ask for help of those who passed by. There was no social security welfare net to catch people like this, and thus, very commonly, on the roads in and out of the city, you would have found people like Bartimaeus begging. But why is it recorded for us in Scripture? Are we just to read the account and show pity, in a sense, in our hearts to the man's physical condition? Are we to sympathize with his circumstances? Or are we to ask a deeper question about what it teaches us of our own spiritual condition? That's true of all of the healing miracles that Jesus accomplishes. They're all done for a reason. We see the Lord mighty to save, delivering people from the effects of sin, things that have entered into the world as a result of the fall. And every time we see it, we're to ask ourselves questions, and we're to see Jesus mightily delivering men and women from their sins. Whether it be the cleansing of a leper, whether it be causing a deaf man to hear, making a dumb man to speak, even raising the dead. We're asking this question: what does the passage teach me about how I am to view myself before God? Well, the answer is very simple. Naturally deaf to God's word. Naturally leprous and diseased and corrupted in sin. Naturally dead in trespasses and in sins, and Jesus must make us whole. In the case of Bartimaeus, we learn that we are blind to spiritual realities because sin has put our eyes out so that we cannot see, perceive, or understand the things that belong to God and our salvation. We're blind. We live in a world where God speaks a continual sermon in all nations in the natural created order, but men can't hear it. They can't see it. He speaks in the world. He speaks in His word. And men can't see it. Maybe we can think of our plight like this. We don't only need new light. We need new sight. That's our problem. Suppose we were to blacken all the windows out, we were to switch the lights off. We were to put a blind man on this side of the room and a man who could see on this side of the room. We counted to five and we switched the lights on. Could the blind man see? No, of course he couldn't. He's still blind. Well, the scriptures tell us that this is the plight of men in the world. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to verse 18. Paul is speaking about this blindness in reference to the state of the Gentiles. And he says there, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Those outside the church, they're blind. What happens? They're surrounded by the witness of God in creation, aren't they? But they look at the same evidence that we look at. But what do they conclude? They conclude there's no God. They look at order and see chaos. They look at life and believe that life can come from non-life without a miracle, from a supernatural God. They look at the world and they think, we're blind. They say to themselves, there's no God, God's not real, but they don't stop for a moment to think that they're blind. And that's the problem. They can't see. Well, you see, that is the problem. Those who are lost in the world, they're blind. But this isn't just a problem to those who are in the world. Paul tells us that this is also a problem for those who are in the walls of the visible church. Listen to how he speaks to the church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse 3 and verse 4. He says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now, he's previously said this was true of the church in the Old Testament. Moses is read in their hearing, but a veil covers their minds. They don't understand. When they peer into the ceremonial law and see the sacrificial orders that God has given, when they read of the high priest and atonement, they don't understand that it's fulfilled in the gospel of Christ. So people in the world, they're blind. People in the church of the Old Testament, they were blind. People in the church of the New Testament, likewise. Naturally blind. But you see, this was only one aspect of Bartimaeus' condition, wasn't it? So the sin that has blinded our minds has reduced us, like Bartimaeus, to the state of beggars before God. What we mean by that this evening is very simple. Before God, with respect to our salvation, we have absolutely nothing to offer. Not your church attendance, not your gospel heritage, not the godliness of your parents, not even your membership of this church. Nothing. Nothing in our hands to offer to God for our salvation. Well, you see, this is part of the offense of the gospel, isn't it? People, they don't like to hear this. We say to them, there you are spiritually. You're sitting right beside blind Bartimaeus. You're blind and you're a beggar. And they say, no, we can see. And what's more, we can do. And we will do very well on our own. Thank you very much. We don't need your gospel. I grew up in a church full of people like that. They heard the gospel, they went mad. They got rid of a minister, an assistant minister who came to the church. He preached the gospel. They kicked him out. We're respectable, you see. We don't need this. We can do. Well, you see, they think they're good enough, and God says, no, you're beggars. You've nothing. I've learned something else in my ministry. It's not just the respectable who react to the gospel like that. It's the miserable as well. We go door to door in air. We speak to people and they're terribly broken. Sometimes they come into the church. We preach the gospel to them. Before long, you start to hear things that tell you that their whole attitude to life and salvation is one of victimhood. You're telling me that I'm a beggar before God? Look at my life. That's not fair. God owes me. Well, you're not going to find people like that just in air. You'll find them in Lewis. You might even find them in this congregation tonight. You think God owes you. God owes you nothing but an eternity in hell. Now, do we see our condition this evening? Let's take our place there beside Bartimaeus. On that road leading out of Jericho, we're sitting and we're what? We're blind. And we're beggars. We're helpless in our condition before God. The second thing that we deal with in the text is his cry. Bartimaeus sits in his blindness begging, and what happens? Well, a party of people pass along the road out of Jerusalem. Jesus is, of course, in the midst of this group of people. And Bartimaeus, he perceives that there's something unusual happening. Now, mark it that it is Passover time, and it's not unusual that you have a lot of pilgrims passing along this road out of Jericho, heading up to Jerusalem. There's nothing out of the ordinary there, but there's something extraordinary going on here. There's more bustle, there's more excitement, and this poor blind man, he can't see, and he wants to know what's happening. So Luke tells us in his account, chapter 18, verse 36, that he asks people, what's going on? Why all the fuss? And in verse 37 of the same chapter, men turn around and they answer him and they say, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. That's all they say. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now we can be sure that this man has never set eyes upon Jesus. He's blind. But yet that name strikes a chord immediately with his heart. He's heard of his miracles. He's heard men talk about his teaching and preaching. And it seems from how he reacts that he knows that Jesus is able to heal people just like him, because he's done it many, many times. Maybe he's heard of the account of that young man who was born blind. And what did Jesus do? Jesus healed him from his blindness. Or maybe he's heard of all of the accounts of Jesus' healing miracles up north there in the region of Galilee. So many that he was able to send word to John the Baptist when John was going to die. Go and tell John that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Go and tell him these things. Oh, well, you see, word has come to Bartimaeus, and there he is, sitting by the roadside, begging. And when he hears Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, he begins to cry. He begins to cry. If you look at verse 47, you'll see how he addresses Jesus. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, now note that, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus of Nazareth? Children, are you looking at your Bibles? Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy upon me, doesn't say that, does he? They tell him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and he begins to cry out, Jesus, thou Son of David! Have mercy upon me. Now, why does he call Jesus of Nazareth Jesus, the Son of David? Well, of course, words going around about this Jesus of Nazareth, that he is fulfilling all of the scriptural prophecies about the Messiah who would come. Yes, the Son of David and David's Lord. As Jesus continues his journey into Jerusalem, you remember the account, chapter 11, verse 9. And when they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. And they're saying, here is the Son of David coming into the city of Jerusalem to take his kingdom. Just according to that psalm we had this morning, Psalm 118, here he is. The Messiah has come. And of course, the religious leaders, they object to this. No, he's Jesus of Nazareth. Keep quiet. Stop calling him the Son of David. Oh, but back along the road, those few miles before this event, there he is, Bartimaeus, and he's crying unto God, but his cry is something of a confession, isn't it? He's saying, Jesus of Nazareth, I believe that you are the Messiah sent from God. I believe you are the Christ. And though he sits in his natural blindness, he's already beginning to see more, far more than many of the religious leaders could see. Jesus, thou Son of David. Well, that's how he addressed Christ, but what does he ask Christ? He says, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Well, there's nothing really out of the ordinary with that statement in one sense, because had you walked past blind Bartimaeus, he might have said something similar to you. He might have said, "Excuse me, sir, could you have mercy upon me? Do you have any food? Could you spare me some change? Could you pity me in my condition?" But yet there's something radically different about this. Have you ever walked through Glasgow or a larger town, maybe even Stornoway, I don't know, and you see a beggar? We spoke last night, or yesterday morning, sorry. We said you never see really a happy beggar. They sit there looking quite subdued and miserable. Have you ever seen a beggar sitting at the side of the road crying out? Have you? Shouting his head off, "Have mercy upon me!" Oh, well, you see, that's the difference here. It's not, "Excuse me, sir, could you have mercy upon me? Could I have some food? Could I have some money?" No, it's, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me!" So much so that the company of people who are traveling on the road are embarrassed and they're saying, "Listen, would you keep quiet? You're making a scene. You're making a fool of yourself. Stop it." The way you parents, when your children, you're out in company and your children do something and it's not what you expect them to do, and you say, "Stop it, you're making a scene." Children ought to be seen and not heard. That's like what they're saying here. Beggar should be seen and not heard. Beggar, be quiet. Stop it. It lacks propriety. Well, what does Bartimaeus do? Does he heed them? No, he doesn't heed them. Verse 48. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, "A great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." Now, try to imagine that circumstance. They're saying, "Be quiet, be quiet." And he's screaming at the top of his voice. And he's screaming over and over and over again, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Stop it. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." And the more they try to quiet him, the more he cries unto Christ for mercy. You see, to Bartimaeus, this was absolutely urgent. These people who were trying to be respectable, they weren't blind like him. He was blind. He knew he was blind. He felt his need, and he knew that only Jesus Christ could deliver him. And while it may not have been convenient to others, it was absolutely critical to Bartimaeus. "I must have mercy from this man." You know, we know something that Bartimaeus didn't. It was even more critical than he realized. Because Jesus will never pass this way again. It's not like last year's Passover, where Jesus may have gone up to Jerusalem and then returned from Jerusalem. This year, Jesus is going up to Jerusalem to be the sacrifice. He's going to the city of God to lay down his life for his people. Bartimaeus had one opportunity, and only one. And he cries, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." But you see, friends, if you become aware of your need before God, we left you sitting there, didn't we, by the roadside, just next to blind Bartimaeus, blind and begging. If you become aware of your spiritual need, this critical cry for mercy arises in your heart so that nothing else seems to be important until you get this major issue dealt with, that you receive an answer from Christ. What's happening in your heart this evening? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a sense, is passing by you in the gospel. And you're sitting by the roadside blind and begging. What's happening in your heart? Can I ask those of you who didn't come to the table of the Lord this morning? Can I ask you respectfully, what was going on in your heart? You watch the members of this congregation come to the front of the church and partake of this sacrament. Was there a cry in your heart, sitting there at the back of the church, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me? And the more you looked, the more brokenhearted perhaps you were, and that cry continued in a sense, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And you'd come back again this evening, and the same cry is in your heart, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And it doesn't matter what you do or what anybody else does to try and quieten that cry. You cry the more a great deal, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Well, for your encouragement this evening, that was the cry of Bartimaeus. But we move to the third thing, not just his cry, but his coming. There's Bartimaeus crying, all these people embarrassed and outraged at his urgency. But he keeps crying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And his voice reaches the ear of Christ. Look at verse 49, what happened? And Jesus stood still. And Jesus stood still. All those men trying to stop him crying, and he wouldn't. And now his crying stops Christ. And Jesus says to messengers, we don't know who they were, go to that blind man and bring him to me. Look at verse 49 again. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. He doesn't do it directly. He commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Don't read that text too quickly. We can be quite mechanical. Jesus says to the men say to Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus comes to Jesus. Okay, that's it in a basic way. But this man's blind. We read Jesus stood still, but Bartimaeus can't see that. He's blind. And we expect Jesus is some distance off. And when Jesus turns to his disciples and says, go and get that man and bring him to me, Bartimaeus can't see it. And when the men come to him, it's very evident that they try to calm him down. They say, be of good comfort. What's happening? Jesus has stood still. Jesus is sending his messengers to blind Bartimaeus. And blind Bartimaeus is still crying, Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy upon me. And somebody puts their hand upon him and says, be of good comfort, sir. Rise. He calls for you. He invites you to come. Come to him. Now mark this, if you're struggling with this whole issue in your heart, if you're still crying out unto Christ for mercy, in the same way he sends comfort to your heart in the gospel. To men whose hearts raise this anxious cry for mercy in Christ, what does he do? He sends messengers. And he commands them, go to those people and tell them, be of good comfort, rise up, come to Jesus. He calls for you. He calls for you. But the question for you this evening is, are you going to listen to the word of comfort? Are you going to rise up and are you going to come to Jesus? Or are you going to still sit by the highway side crying, Jesus, thou Son of Mercy, or Son of David, have mercy upon me. Have you got it? Be of good comfort. Rise. He calls for you. Will you come to him? Would you come like Bartimaeus? Look at him in verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. With all of the haste that his blindness will permit him, he gets to his feet. He throws off his beggar's rag so that even that, his only comfort in a sense, he throws it to the side and he makes his way to Jesus. Just as he is. Now naked, blind, helpless, beggar. Would you come to Christ like that? How does Top Lady put it? He says, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, look to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. The only way we can come to Christ. A sinner, casting everything away, confessing all that we are. There's a gospel abroad in evangelical churches today, and it makes Jesus the beggar. There he is. And all these healthy people, in a sense, they're walking down the road, and Jesus is pleading with them. Would you have mercy upon me? Would you accept me? Would you do me the good favor of believing in me as a Savior? Well, you see, everything's upside down in that gospel, isn't it? The gospel is this. We're the beggar. Christ is passing by. He calls us, but his call is a royal call. His invitation is a sovereign invitation. And the opportunity is all ours. Will you come to Jesus like that this evening? Will you get up spiritually like Bartimaeus? Will you cast off the rag as you sat with him, rise with him, walk with him to the feet of Christ? His condition, his cry, his coming. But then fourthly, we have his cure. Jesus asks Bartimaeus what he wants. Verse 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now he could have said, give me money, I'm a beggar. He could have said, in theory, I need a new rag or a new cloak. I've just thrown the old cloak away. It's rubbish. I need some food. There's a whole host of things that blind beggars could have asked Jesus. But you see, all of those things were secondary, weren't they? Remember what we said at the beginning? He was a beggar because he was blind. And Bartimaeus knows that his root problem is this blindness. And if he doesn't get this blindness addressed, the food's soon going to be eaten and gone. And he's still going to be blind. What do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Lord, will you deal with my root problem? Will you give me eyes to see? What's your root problem this evening? It's not the consequences of your sin. It's not the misery of your sin. It's not the brokenness of your life. It's not depression if you suffer from depression, and we're sensitive to that. The root problem of the human condition is sin. Now, you've risen with Bartimaeus. You've come at the call of Christ. You're crying out unto him for mercy. Now, he asks you, what is it you want? What do you want me to do for you? What's your answer? Lord, that I might receive my sight. Lord, that I might be delivered from my sins. Lord, that I might have a new heart. Get right to the root. Heal me in the core. Heal me completely. Give me this new life that the gospel offers to me in Christ. Don't just fix my life. Save me from my sins. What does Jesus do? Verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus. He comes blind, and he leaves whole, and the key is faith. Oh, you say not faith. Faith again. Minister, we were doing well up to that point. I was encouraged. I was coming to Christ. Faith. What is faith? How do I know I have faith? What did this man have? He had a sense of his need. He had a belief that Jesus could meet his need. And he asked Jesus to meet his need. That's faith. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. Do you recognize your need this evening? Do you believe that Jesus is able to meet that need? Will you ask Jesus to meet that need? And will you take comfort that those who come like this to Christ through faith are made whole? He's cured. And he continues. There's Jesus going up to the city of God to lay down his life a ransom for his people. And there's Bartimaeus following Jesus in the way. We're not told how far he went. Maybe he went the whole way to Jerusalem. Maybe he was there for the whole events of the cross. We don't know. But we see the beginnings of discipleship, don't we? We see the first steps. What's our condition? We're blind beggars. What's our cry? Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy upon me. How do we come? At the bidding of Christ. Come! What do we ask? Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus gives blind sinners their sight. Jesus lifts the beggar from the dunghill and sets them among the princes of God. Jesus takes sinners, forgives them completely all of their sins, and bestows upon them the glory of everlasting life. Blind, but now I see. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's stand for prayer.